In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. A special word of welcome to our visitors and our guests. If you're here for the first time, we hope you feel at home at St. Benedict's. We're very happy to have you. There was a man crossing the desert, and all of a sudden he had a real difficult experience because his camel died and he lost all of his provisions. So he felt very, very thirsty. And he began to pray to God, saying, Lord, where can I find something to drink? Where will I find water in this desert? He prayed and prayed for water. And he started walking faster and faster. And the more he walked, the more he perspired, and the more thirsty he felt. He needed water. Eventually, he got to a vendor. He saw a man at a distance, and he said, wow, I bet you he's got water. He's going to give me water. As he got closer and closer to the vendor, he started looking, and he couldn't see any water on the man. And he said, sir, would you happen to have some water? I'm very thirsty. My camel's died. I've lost my provisions. I need help. The man looked at him and said, I'm sorry, sir, all I have is ties. I sell ties, fine ties. Do you need a tie? What do you mean? I'm in the middle of a desert. Why would I need a tie? He says, oh, no, listen, you may need a tie. You never know when you'll need a tie. Do you need a tie? He says, no, all I want is to drink water. Can you give me just a little sip of water? He says, no, I'm sorry. If you want a tie, I can get you a tie, but that's all I've got. Oh, the man said, Lord, this can't be happening to me. So he kept walking faster and faster and faster. He moved on in the desert, and then he saw what looked like a restaurant at a distance, and he couldn't believe it. He started imagining himself going into the restroom and splashing water in his face. He started imagining how he would just get, you know, the busboy to bring him a glass of ice cold water, and he would be refreshed. And so he walked faster and faster and faster. And when he got to the front door of the nice little restaurant, the doorman said, stop! You can't come in here without a tie. Sometimes God puts things in our paths and we don't listen. The true story is that we've been thirsty for a long, long time. We have been thirsty for a long, long time. Did you hear what the book of Exodus said? Did you hear what happened to Moses? The people of Israel were walking through the desert, through the promised land. They were on their journey following God's call. And they said to Moses, give us something to drink. They began to give Moses a hard time because at least back in their post of slavery, they had some water, but now here they were, a free people, but they had no water. And so please give us something to drink. And then Paul speaks to the early Christians and he's telling them how Jesus is this life-giving water, this spring of water, how Jesus is this new life-giving water, and they're still kind of figuring it out. It was hard for them to understand the depth of what Paul was talking about. And then we see how Jesus meets this woman at the well. Now, I'm a little disappointed that the woman has no name. We call her the woman at the well, because that's all we really know about her. She was a Samaritan and a woman at the well. But then you notice how Jesus has this incredible patience with this woman. This woman who goes on a regular basis to the well to get water. If you think about it, we've been thirsty for a long, long time, and not just through Scripture, not just from the Old Testament lesson all the way to the Gospel with the woman at the well. We've been thirsty for a long time, and think about it. We're still thirsty now. We live in a world where we are thirsty for peace. Am I right? You look at the situation with North Korea, and you look at the different conflicts throughout the world, in the Middle East and other places, and you think, oh God, when is this going to end? We are longing for peace. We're thirsty for peace. We're thirsty for justice. Because we live in a world where many injustices occur on a regular basis. Almost institutionally, we have allowed injustice to reign in our world. And sometimes, unfortunately, that injustice is manifested with the ugliness and darkness of bigotry and prejudice and exclusion of persons. So we are thirsty for justice. And ultimately, we are thirsty for love. Because human beings have been created to love and to be loved. And we are thirsting for love. Thirsting for what loving one another means. Living in a society with more kindness, more love toward neighbor, more charity, more compassion, more understanding, less judgment. And that's why this encounter of Jesus with this woman at the well is so significant for us. Because here was this woman who was considered a sinner. It's funny, as Deacon Michael read the gospel, when he got to that part where Jesus says, oh yeah, you're right, you've had five husbands and the one you live with now is not your husband, everybody went, ho, 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 right? You can hear the people in the congregation. As human beings, we have a tendency to very easily judge other people's situations. But you know, when I was praying about this gospel and thinking about it, I was thinking, what if this poor woman had five abusive husbands? What if she had, you know, the alcoholic husband who beat her? Or the nasty husband who was never faithful to her or cared for her? Or the person who totally mistreated her and never treated her as a real partner the way you should treat your spouse? What if all those marriages just went bad? And what if she had her own set of problems? Maybe today we would say psychological problems or other kinds of problems, and that's why she ended up with those five marriages and now her new relationship out of marriage. We don't know what happened with her. And you know what's interesting? Jesus doesn't really care. You know what Jesus was concerned with? He saw the faith this woman had. That she went from being a non-believer, saying, what do you mean? You know, where are you going to get the water if you have no bucket? She went from that all the way to saying, give me that water to drink. I need that life-giving water. Jesus patiently went with her through all the steps of what it means to receive the gift of faith. And Jesus did not give up on her because of her sinful past. And there's a great lesson for us here. The lesson is that God is very patient with us. That God does not give up on us, regardless of our past sins. God doesn't have a checklist. Kind of check, oh, but you did this and you did that, and look at the other thing you did. No, you know, Jesus said, hey, here is this life-giving water. Here is the Savior. That's what that word Messiah means. The one who came to save. The anointed. The one who came to heal and to free us from our sins. You see, she recognized that Jesus had some special water that was not in that well. And I've got something to tell you. That special water has come to each and every one of us through the grace of baptism. See, there's a lot about baptism that we see with our eyes. When we look at baptism, we see the water, obviously. We see the anointing and the light and the candle and the white outfit and all the external things that happen. But when we talk about baptism, we rarely talk about what happens to someone on the inside when they are baptized. What is really happening on the inside? We were talking about this the other day in our rector's forum in the adult education class. We were talking about, you know, so much of what baptism is cannot be seen with the eyes. And this gathering of Jesus and the woman at the well, this was a sacramental moment. We could hear and understand some of it, but there was a lot happening there that we don't understand and that we don't get or grasp right away. Because if you think about it, in your baptism, you became a child of God. You became part of the death and resurrection of Christ. You received the grace of God, the life-giving water. You became a temple of God's Holy Spirit. So much happened through that life-giving water of Jesus that cannot be grasped in a physical way. Perhaps for that reason, the church says that a sacrament is an outward, visible sign of an inner spiritual grace. Something happens inside that is hard for us to define. And that comes through the gift of faith. And this woman had faith. She went from, "But you have no bucket," to, "Give me that water, sir. I need that life-giving water." You know, there's a legend about a man, a water man, that used to take water to the palace for the king every day. And he had two pots in which to take his water. Now, the way he was paid was by the volume of water that would get to the palace. He had one perfectly intact pot. It was a beautiful pot. And he had one that was cracked. But he filled both of them with water. And every day, he'd go on his journey with the two pots all the way to the palace to give water to the king. Now one day, the cracked pot says to the water man, "Hey, sir, why don't you just get rid of me? I'm a cracked pot. I'm not letting you get all the money you could get. If you had a good pot like that other one, you'd be able to fill both of them perfectly and get to the palace, and then you'd get a lot more money than you're getting with me." And the waterman looked at the pot and said, "No, see, you don't see what's happening. You see, I fill both of you with water, and you're right. This one intact pot, it makes me a lot of money. But every time that I fill you with water, something's happening that you're not aware of. So why don't you just look on the side as we walk between the palace and the river? Why don't you just look on the side and see what's happening?" And right under the cracked pot, all the way to the palace, there was a beautiful line of flowers. Beautiful wild flowers. You see, the waterman had planted seeds all along the path. And with the cracked pot, the flowers were watered. So that when His Majesty walks out of His palace, on that walkway to the river, he can see the beautiful flowers with all their splendor and their colors. So even though you consider yourself a cracked pot, you too are serving His Majesty. See, the good news is that Jesus saw the woman at the well, and she may have been a cracked pot. She may have been wounded by her sins and her past and her problems. But Jesus knew that God could do something great with her too. And the good news for us is that God never throws out the cracked pots, because maybe we'd all be thrown out. The good news is that God wants us to do something special. That even through our weaknesses and our problems, we're able to do something wonderful for God. And the grace of God is operative through and in each one of us. Ultimately, this woman of faith became perhaps one of the best evangelists in the gospel, if you think about it. Because the gospel at the end said, if you heard carefully, she went and told everyone about Jesus, right? And many people, it says many Samaritans came to believe in Jesus as the Messiah because of her testimony. Perhaps if she had been a very righteous person that lived a very kind of straight and together life, maybe her testimony wouldn't have been as powerful. People saw how this person was lifted up out of her sinfulness, out of her darkness, out of her problems, out of her struggles. She was lifted up by a good God. A good God that gave her another opportunity for a better life. And isn't that how God is? God is good. And all the time, God lifts us up. God lifts us up. I talk to a lot of people that feel fallen down. I got to tell you. I always say people, everyone should be a priest at least for a day. Talk to a lot of people that feel fallen down. They feel the weight on their shoulders is too much. Just in the last 24 hours, I spoke to two teenagers really struggling with life. And I was thinking, you know, it's not about falling down. It's about getting up. It's not about whatever is really hurting you at the present moment. It's about knowing that God's grace will lift you up. It's about being able to say, you know what? Jesus is my Lord and Jesus is my Savior. And I believe that. They're not just pretty church words. They're not just pretty church words, listen to me. They're not just pretty theological terms. If Jesus is my Lord and Jesus is my Savior, then what is my real thirst? Because I've got something to tell you. Even Jesus, on the cross in Calvary, said, I thirst. You remember that? And those who were crucifying him ridiculed him by putting vinegar in his mouth. I thirst. When we follow Jesus, we too thirst. We thirst for that life-giving water. We thirst for that peace. We thirst for that justice. We thirst for that love. And we try to do everything that we can so that our world becomes a more peaceful, more just, and more loving world. See, the thirst has no meaning if we don't really try to be those springs of life-giving water. And I've got good news for you. You are a spring of life-giving water because you've been baptized. This water is within you. You have the grace of God within you, and you have the ability to take that life-giving water to others. You have the ability to give testimony of who the Lord Jesus is in your life and what he has done for you. One of the greatest theologians of our times, Karl Barth, is one of the best Reformed theologians. He had this painting in his study. And if you see this painting, it's the crucifixion. And the German artist that painted this put on the left Mary and the beloved disciple, like it says in the Gospel of John. But then he put John the Baptist on the right, which is not a biblical truth. It was just his own artistic interpretation. And if you notice, he's got kind of an awkward finger. Do you see it? There's an awkward finger pointing. It's exactly what you tell your children not to do. Don't point, don't point, remember? But John the Baptist is pointing straight at Jesus in the crucifixion. And when people would come in to see Karl Barth, now you got to understand, who would visit Karl Barth? Well, obviously many of his students, but to a certain extent, other theologians, other intellectuals, other people who were in his academic world. And when they came in to see this drawing or this painting right on top of his study in his desk, and many would comment on the finger and John the Baptist, and he would say, I want to be that finger. I want to be that finger. I want to point others to Christ. because Karl Barth saw his whole life, his mission, his entire program in this life was to point people to Christ. I want to be that finger. Think about it. That woman at the well became that finger. She said to others, "This is the Messiah. This is the Lord and Savior. This is the God who healed me. This is the God who lifted me up. This is the God who strengthened me." We are all being called by God to be that finger, to point to the Lord Jesus. The way we live our lives, the way we give our testimony, the way, not just that we speak about Jesus, but the way that we live our faith in Jesus. By the grace of God, we are called to point and say, "That's my Lord and Savior." In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.